comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here as well, and I think you're going to be very glad that you dropped in as well. If you are new, you need to know about our K-Files e-zine. It's our free weekly e-zine. And all you have to do is just go over to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com. And you get over to kevinsmithshow.com, look for a little button with red letters on it that says K-Files e-zine, and just click there and subscribe. It takes a few seconds, and then you are in. You're no longer out of the loop. You're in the loop. All right, very quickly, you know, I said on the show, when we talked about the Bigfoot revelations over in Georgia, that it was too early to tell whether this was a hoax or not. I said on the show that I had major problems with parts of the story. However, since we have a cop who's putting his career on the line, if he was lying, he could never work as a cop again anywhere. I said, let's back off and see. If they have the body, that settles the issue. If they don't have the body, these guys are toast. Well, they are toast. It turns out that the whole thing was a hoax. And we'll deal with that on an open line show later this week. But the whole deal was a hoax. And if you go to... searching for Bigfoot.com, Tom Biscardi's site, you'll read an expose of the hoax. The two guys from Georgia, one a cop, one said he was an ex-corrections officer, have apparently disappeared, and nobody knows where they are, but I'm not surprised about that. But if you read the expose, it puts things in the light that, you know, Tom Biscardi got duped by these guys. And that's just not going to fly. It just isn't going to fly. And when we get into this in our open line show later in the week, I'll explain to you why that's not going to fly. Biscardi is toast as well. And he is toast because of his own statements. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the week. Tonight, when we open up the phone lines for you to call in, we're also going to open up the Skype line. It's still not working like I want it to, but we're going to give it a shot. We'll give it a run and see if we can get that back open for our international callers to be able to call in and participate in the show. And not have to spend a big chunk of change to do that, all right? So those of you who are outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, the Skype line is going to be open for you later in the show. Not now, but later in the show. When we open up the telephone lines for everyone, we'll open that up as well. And my guest is John Edmonds. Now, John has provided me with some video. I've had it in my possession for some time. I've looked at it a lot. You're going to love what you see. It is amazing video of some of these things above Phoenix that we talk about. It's the clearest video of UFO activity I have ever seen. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
And welcome back to the show. For those of you just tuning in, it is the Kevin Smith Show, and I am your host, Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is John Edmonds. John Edmonds is really an interesting guy, fascinating to talk to, fascinating to be around. I know him personally, and he is a producer of the Kevin Smith Show. He wears two hats at least with the show. In addition to producing, John is also the director of advertising for our show, but that's not what he's here to talk about tonight. I simply want you to get it straight and not be wondering and not be thinking, well, I wonder if that's the same John Edmonds. I see his name, you know, in the ads. Yes, it is the same. And he is with us this evening, having provided us with some of the most astounding and clear video that you're ever going to see. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Pleasure to be on.
John, the I guess what we need to do right off the bat here is we just need to go ahead and get folks acquainted with you and with your background, and then we'll get into these videos. So what is your background? Who are you?
Well, I'm a middle-aged guy who is basically somebody who's done a lot of different things in his life. I'm a therapist, a mental health therapist, a social worker, counselor by education, in the last 22, 23 years as far as actually doing that for a living. But along the way, I've been a professional photographer since I was about 14, and I've been a kind of a wannabe, off and on, again, musician, somebody who's been in the music world, both as a photographer, a producer, videographer, you name it, kind of in the music business. I've been around since the mid to late 70s.
All right, as a photographer, let's talk about that. As a photographer, you actually have been published. Your pictures have been published by major news media.
Yes.
All right, tell us about that.
Over the years, I've been everywhere from the cover of the Arizona Republic at one time or another to the Associated Press, United Press International, major news magazines around the world. I've done things for a lot of very well-known artists over the years, both personally and professionally. I don't know. I've done a lot.
All right. You've been involved also in doing a lot of videography for rock concerts too, right?
Yes.
And so in these rock concerts, the reason I bring this up, although, you know, people look at me now and they think, this guy hasn't, you know, he's so old he's never been to rock concerts. Well, I have, and I'm old enough to have been around before rock. But, yeah, I've been to a lot of rock concerts. I still like them, and but they're normally pretty dark. So the question is, how do you video in the dark?
Well, basically, you have to set your camera so that you're using a very open f-stop, and you have to go as slow a shutter speed as possible, or you have to use artificial light, either flash, or you have to depend on what's available. And you have to use, in the old days when we used actual film stock, we had to use what was called a high ASA speed film that would allow us to actually work in low light situations.
Yeah. All right. Now, you know the reason I ask those questions. You folks who are listening to the show and who are about to see the videos needed to hear why you're looking at some of the clearest stuff you're ever, ever going to see. Related to UFOs. I think it's important that we sort of set the stage, John. These videos were taken back in 2002, and already today I had one person say to me, well, if these are real, why are they just coming out now? So let's just go ahead and deal with that.
Well, the simple answer is that really nobody was terribly interested in them back when I was doing them. I tried to submit them to Coast to Coast with Art Bell. I tried to submit them to local Fox TV. I tried to submit them to basically anybody that would look at them, because when I did them, I was astounded by what I was seeing. And the people that would come out to the ranch and actually view the spectacle with me were equally astounded. But there really wasn't a lot of interest. And so consequently, you know, when I got to the point where I hit a lot of dead ends, you know, I took as much footage as I thought was relevant, and then I just stopped doing it. And quite frankly, I haven't done very much of it lately at all, because, again, it's out there. It's pretty much the same stuff.
Well, as a matter of fact, when you and I were having a conversation about, I think this actually the conversation began with us talking about Jeff Woolline and the very strange things that he videos, and then you started telling me about what you had seen and that you had it on video, and I asked you if I could see it, if I could get copies of it. And you said yes, but it wasn't something that you had right at hand. You had to kind of look that up a little bit. You had to find it and bring it out to me, and then we transferred it over to my computer. And we'll see portions of that in just a few minutes. So this was not something that, I mean, you did try to get this out, and you were just basically told, yeah, okay, that's nice, run along, right?
Pretty much. I mean, at one point there was enough interest, basically because of what had happened with the Phoenix lights and the fact that the light that is emanating from these orbs has been tested, and it's hence it's been known now that it's the same thing. So there was enough interest back a few years ago that we actually did do a public show at the Scottsdale Civic Center a number of years ago, and the place was packed. And we had a lot of people that were, shall we say, the dignitaries of the UFO field that showed up. And
like who?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm afraid to say because it's been so long, and I don't want to name somebody that wasn't there, you know, and say that they were. But I just remember at the time that we had, you know, people that were fairly well-known were there.
Have these videos been analyzed by any kind of video experts?
The gentleman over at Village Labs and Bill Hamilton. Bill Hamilton actually got in touch with me, and he and I knew each other. And
Village Labs would be Jim Delatoso.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he took them over to Jim and had Jim analyze them, and he said absolutely positively they were not flares. And then he did a thing with Bill where they compared the light to the video of the lights the night of the Phoenix lights, and they spectroscopically determined that it was the same thing.
All right. Tell us about, kind of set this up for us. Tell us where these were filmed and what time of the year and what year.
They have been collected over a period of time out here in Rainbow Valley, which is southwest of Phoenix, out with the Estrella Mountain Range out here. And it is on the backside of my ranch. And we've seen these things for years and years off and on. They just kind of show up from time to time. And in the old days, you know, we were fascinated and we thought, wow, you know, we got to get some footage of this. This is unusual. And so I just set up my cameras and I started shooting. And I just left them set up and I would go ahead and cover them when they weren't in use. And I just had them on tripods and I had everything ready to go. So I could pretty much roll at a moment's notice.
All right, now before we take a look at your videos, we're going to look at some shot by NASA, by astronauts. Just a few seconds of a particular video. Now, this has come to be known as the Tether Experiment. This was back in, I believe it would have been about 1996? Somewhere along in there. NASA did an experiment where they had a small satellite, and what they were going to do is they had it attached to, I believe it was copper cable, and the cable was really only about the diameter of a match. So if you can imagine a matchstick, that's about the diameter of this cable. So they began to let this, they deployed the satellite attached to the tether and began to reel it out behind the shuttle. And they reeled out about 12 miles of this cable. And then it snapped. All of a sudden, it snapped. And so now the satellite is adrift in space. It's got the tether. It's still attached to it. I remember being very amazed because the thing began to glow. And here's something the size of a matchstick, but you could see it with the naked eye at nighttime right here on Earth. It was just glowing. All right, now we're going to watch a bit of footage as the shuttle came back around. They tried to film the tether to see what was going on, and tried to film the tether and satellite. What you're looking at is something pretty amazing, because that straight line in the middle of your screen is the tether with a satellite attached to one end, and you see how broad it looks? What you're looking at, that straight line, is about 12 miles long. But look at all that stuff swimming around it. Here's a 12-mile-long tether. It looks like it's very wide because it's glowing. And it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it could be seen from Earth with a naked eye. Did you, by any chance, happen to see it when that happened?
I did not personally, no.
Okay, well, I did. Now, I've stopped the video because I want to point out something. I want you to see this object right here that I've just circled. Now, I want you to notice that right there at the back of it is a notch. It has a dark center. It looks like a donut. But right at the back of it, there's a notch. All right. Now, let's continue the video. Pretty amazing. That long stick, that's the tether, 12 miles. That UFO that just went by, and there's a bunch of them going by. You notice there are a whole lot of them that look like those donuts. And they have almost all of them have a notch in them. All right? Now, if you'll notice the size of that tether related to the size of that UFO that's going by, that UFO has to be 3 or 4 or 5 miles across. It's huge. It's gigantic. All right, now we're going to stop this one, and I'm going to show you something, and this is important. I want you to notice that this one has a notch on the leading edge right here. See that?
I do.
I want you to just keep your eye on that notch. We're going to start it up again and let it go. Look where the notch is now. The notch now is not on the leading edge. It's right here on the back. And we just watched it morph. For what reason, we don't know. By what means, we don't know. But it just morphed from having a notch on the leading edge. Now the notch is around on the backside of it. Now the reason... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Kevin, you know, it appears to be a notch, but it could also just be sort of a black or darkly colored patch.
Well, maybe, but then again, let's take a look at your pictures. You see the notch?
Yes.
It's not a darkly colored patch, is it?
No.
All right, now I want us to take a look at your videos, and we're just going to begin. This first one is about 3 minutes long, and you may want to comment on it as we begin to watch it. Those are lights out at the edge of the property, and what we're looking at here are in the air. How far away are you from those?
Well, I can only tell you that what I've done is I've taken a Jeep and I have driven out to the same area where I thought these objects were. And I believe that when I shot the video that they were about 17 or 18 miles away. That's how large these objects are. They're in the frame of the video camera, they're huge. I mean, they really take up some room. And even though I am moving the camera to some extent, trying to keep them in focus, as far as the zooming in or the zooming out goes, they're still very, very far away, and they are absolutely huge. I've had a chance to get close enough to them that they're absolutely immense.
All right, I've stopped it for just a moment because I want to point out something. I've had Jeff Woolline on the show, and I don't know if you've ever met Jeff, but I know you're familiar with him because you and I have talked about Jeff. And if you look at this object on the right, he talked about a barbell-shaped object, and I said, yes, I have seen it too. I don't know what kind of response Jeff got, but I got even from some of our regular listeners, I got a sort of ha-ha-ha kind of email, several of them, about, chuckles, flying barbells. All right, well, there you go, folks. There it is. It's right there on the right. You can see why we said it's shaped kind of like a barbell. and this thing changes shape several times. So eat your crow. There it is. I've seen it before. Jeff has seen it, and there you see the video of it. Also notice the one on the left is beginning to have notches, sort of a ruffles along its trailing edge at the bottom.
Well, the interesting thing about it, from what I recall, and that is that not only do they get sort of a ruffling effect, it almost seems as if they are dematerializing. You can't really tell from looking at these pictures, but when you actually see them live and you see them through the viewfinder, they're moving, and they seem to be very three-dimensional, and they seem to have a thickness to them. And that thickness, because of their size, has to be huge. I mean, you know, I'm not really sure exactly how much, but the depth has to be proportionate to their size to some extent.
All right. Now, we just saw one just flicker out. And if you look at the one that's still there, well, it's gone now. It'll be back, I know, because I edited this. And by the way, in editing this, all I did was I cut out portions where the sky was dark for a couple of minutes. All right, we are into a break. I'll let the video run, and then we'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. And we are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and we're talking with John Edmonds this evening. He is the source of these videos that we're looking at.
Now, so far...
John, probably we've got some folks that have looked at this and said, okay, that could just be spotlights out there on the horizon. Well, folks, I agree. I understand where you're coming from, but just keep watching. We're going now to the second cut, and now we've got four of these things up in the sky. They are just above the Australia mountain range there, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, something else, Kevin, and that is that while all of these orbs are periodically out here, there are so many other objects that we have observed out here, from black triangles to you name it, over the years, that, you know, quite frankly, when we first saw these things, you know, we didn't realize whether they were hostile or whether they were, you know, really what they were. We're still not sure what they are. But over the years, we've come to just accept them as kind of part of the landscape. But at the time that I shot this video, you know, to me, it was quite threatening at first.
Why did you feel threatened by it?
Just because it seems so odd. It just seems so unnatural. It seems so out of context. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, we're out here in the middle of thousands of acres of desert, surrounded by saguaro cactus and a few foothills. And there's a few homes out here, but not very much, even with all the development that's come on. And you know, to be out 18 to 20 miles at times out into the desert alone or, you know, with a couple of friends, and then suddenly to have these things come up out of nowhere and just to see them, and at times to see anywhere from 5 to 10, 15 of these things at once, it's quite startling.
John, do these things cast light down onto the ground?
We were never able to observe that. They just seem to emanate light, and they pulse, and they seem three-dimensional. It's difficult for me to give you much more than that, but there is a lot of light. I mean, in terms of it's very bright, and it's just amazing. It's difficult for me to describe the effect that it had on me, other than the fact that I was just awestruck.
All right. Now, I noticed when this one first started, that when this video first started, that there was a blinking light up in the upper left-hand side, which would have been, I know you're facing toward the south here.
Correct.
And this blinking light then would have been above these and to the left, to the east. What is that?
Well, that's a real good question. There's something that I call a spinny object. I don't really have any good name for it. It just looks like almost like a representation of like an atom. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, like during science classes or anything, had, you know, somebody show you a representation of what an atom looks like.
Yeah.
You know, from a caricature or, you know, like an artist's recreation. But imagine something spinning so fast that it actually looks like it's appearing in all different directions at once with a concentric circle. And the thing moves around in the sky, back and forth, up and down, and it always seems to be to the east and above the orbs. And it's unfortunate I don't think you have any video of that on the site tonight, but, you know, if there's enough interest, I'd love to see you post it, because I know it's on there.
Okay. Tell you what I want to do. For those who around the world may not have been too familiar with that tether experiment, there are people who think that the tether experiment was actually a success and that it did exactly what they really planned for it to do, and that would be this. It would be as the astronauts pull back away, you know, with the lens, look at all of those things gathering around that tether. I mean, there's, I don't know, 100 of them, maybe more. And some of them, actually, if you enlarge this and really look at it closely, some of them even have sort of a triangular shape. but most of them are these donuts that we were looking at. Now, have you any theory as to why they would be so interested in and would gather around that tether like that?
Well, I'm only speculating, of course, but it would seem to me that I think that these objects are present fairly often, maybe frequently, in our atmosphere. And I think they kind of keep an eye on things. And so, you know, they like to see any new developments, and, you know, to them it's pretty interesting. So I think maybe they just came out to inspect it. I know that out here, we regularly have seen these objects interact with military helicopters and F-16s. You know, they're interesting to the military. The military doesn't seem to admit to it, but they definitely are involved.
All right. I'm trying to remember which ones of these we've played. Let's do this cut here, all right? Now, here we're watching these things morph. They're changing shape, and there's really no explanation why they're changing shape or even how. But if you look at the one on the right. Now, the one on the right has sort of the shape of the heel of a shoe at this particular point where I've stopped it. And we've heard about people seeing, quote, UFOs that were shaped something like the heel of a shoe. Well, this thing continues to morph, and now it's returning to more of a circle. Now it's back to a circle, and the one on the left has a notch in it. Whenever we talk about this, John, and we tell people that out here there are things in the sky that we call them UFOs because we don't know what they are. They're unidentified. They're in the sky. But it doesn't appear to be, or to me, this does not appear to be, any type of a machine. And when I watch this, I'm watching what Jeff Woolline talks about when he says he thinks these are living entities. What do you think about this? Because they're out there over your property. What do you think about this?
Well, I agree. I get a sense every time that I've seen them that they are organic one way or another. I'm not sure organic what, but they do not appear to be any kind of mechanical object. They are fluid. They, as you can see in the video, they change. They get different patterns all over them. One of the things that I've seen, which unfortunately we're not seeing here in the video, is the fact that they do change colors as well. I mean, I have seen them go from a bright yellow to a deep orange, a red, and even at times to a green. And I've never seen, in all the video footage of UFOs that I've seen, I've never seen a green UFO. So to me, it's kind of interesting. I definitely think that they're organic of some kind.
Now, this UFO activity, you said, is not limited to these. You have also seen black triangles and other types of UFOs. And you shared with us when you were on the show before, you shared with us a story about one of these triangles hovering above you, right above your ranch, and having a sheriff's deputy look at it and say, "I see it, I'm not going to make a report," and it didn't happen.
That's correct.
All right, I'd like for you to share that story with us again.
All right. It was early fall, a number of years back. I believe it was like 2001. I'd have to go back and look at notes to be sure. But some friends were out here at the ranch with us, and we were outside, and we were kind of watching the horses out in the front corral playing, kind of running around, just having a good time. And very suddenly, we saw this object literally descend out of the sky down on top of us to the point where it was, I want to say, about 150 feet, 200 feet above us. It was absolutely huge, and it just hung there. And the horses absolutely freaked out, and they were scared to death, and we were kind of scared. And I looked at my friend, and I said, what do you want to do about this? I don't have a camera. And he looked at me and said, mine's out of batteries. And I said, well, what do we do? And he said, call it in. And I said, well, we need to call the UFO Reporting Center. And so I called Peter Davenport and got him on the phone in Seattle, Washington, and described what was going on. And he said, in order for this to have any kind of legitimacy officially, you need to call one of the authorities. And I kind of protested for a minute, and I said, I don't think they're going to really respond to this very well. He said, do it anyway. So I called, and called 911, and they sent a deputy out, and a deputy came out pretty quickly. And he saw what he saw, the same that we saw. And he just looked at me, and he said, I can't report this. And I said, well, you know, you're seeing it, and I'm seeing it, so why can't you report it? And he said, we just, it's a record, it's a rule, we don't report things like this. And I said, so you admit seeing it, and you're watching it here with me on this night, but you're not going to do anything. And he says, what would you have me do? And I said, well, if you could just substantiate that it actually happened, you know, so that we can use it as an official record, that would be great. And he said, no, he couldn't do that. So we stood there, all of us together, and just watched this thing hover for a few minutes.
Did you ask him for his name?
I did, but at the time, even though they're supposed to give you a name, he absolutely refused.
Well, and let me say, if he's listening tonight, I just want you to know that I know, and the entire United States knows, and now the world knows, you broke the law when you refused to make a report and when you refused to give your name. You broke the law.
Yeah, he just looked at me and smiled and said, thanks, have a good night, turned around and walked away.
Describe this object.
Well, let's see. I have a barn that is about 100 feet long, and it's about 40 feet wide, and I would say that this object was probably at least twice that size. So you can...
And what shape was it?
Triangular.
And how high was it?
I'm guessing anywhere from 150 to maybe 200 feet above us.
Well, that's close. That's very close. You could have thrown a rock and hit it.
I would say it was probably, if you took like a telephone pole and used that as an increment of measurement, a standard telephone pole, I would say maybe three or four times that high.
You had a friend with you at the time, right?
Yes, I did.
And what was the reaction of your friend to all of this?
He and his wife, that I had known for years, were here. And they both, they looked at me and they said, go get your wife. And I yelled at my wife and ran off to the house real quick, which was, you know, only a few feet away, and brought her out. She saw it, and we all just stood there and just gaped at it and went, wow, you know.
Was it making any noise?
Nothing.
And
absolutely
was it?
Nothing at all.
What color was it?
Black, or sort of a dark, like a sort of a charcoal gray, kind of a graphite color maybe.
And could you see any, like, exhaust vents or anything like that on it?
No, we didn't see anything like that. There were no, you know, like, windows, or there was no way to look inside of it. There was...
John, we have to take a break. We'll continue with that when we come back. Okay, folks, we'll be back, and we'll get John to comment on some more video here in just a moment. Don't go away. It gets better and better.
days before you came along, I'd be painting perfect pictures on my canvas of years to feed you. Around I went looking through my windows out, but nothing fit you. My whole world narrowed to the size of a couple of pages in my book.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. And we are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm your host, Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is John Edmonds. John, you were telling us about the afternoon, where all of you, your friends, your wife, and a deputy all saw this UFO. Have there been some more events like that where you saw something that actually looked like a machine?
Well, we've seen a number of things out here. I've seen an awful lot because I'm usually the person who's out here with the horses. Hopeful Hooves is located out here, which is our nonprofit horse program, equine therapy program. And so somebody has to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to take care of the horses. So I'm very often out on the property at night watering horses, making sure that nothing is going on that shouldn't be, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, the UFO situation I have no control over. So, but yes, there have I have seen different types of objects out here in the sky at night. It's because it's so dark out here, there are virtually no lights at all. The only thing that you really see at night are either planes or, you know, things that are stars.
And I can attest to that. I spent a couple of nights out there, and it is dark. It's when the lights go out, it's dark. There aren't, it's not like in the city where there's street lights every few feet. It's dark.
Things stick out here in the sky. I mean, when the lights go out here and you see something at night, it sticks out very plainly.
All right, let's talk about something sticking out in the sky. In this series of videos, and actually you compiled them into one long video, and I've just taken excerpts out of it, and folks need to understand that. That's all I've done to the video. I haven't done anything else to the video. I just took some excerpts out of a very long video. This one I found to be very interesting, and I already played it just a few minutes ago without comment. But I want us to go back to it, and I want you to tell us what we're looking at.
Okay.
Looks like it's gone out.
I'm actually still seeing your image on the screen here, Kevin. Okay, here we go. Like I said, they do fade in and fade out. They have a tendency to just suddenly appear, and 1 minute they're there, and the next second they're gone. I'm not really seeing much here. I think actually what you're looking at there is what I call the spinny object, the object that looks like an atom spinning around. I'm glad you were able to include that. That is definitely what that is. It's just a bizarre, weird thing. I've never seen any images of it anywhere else except the ones that I've captured.
It takes all kinds of different shapes here. And, I mean, at one point it sort of looks like a hummingbird even. I mean, it doesn't, but I mean, it kind of takes that shape. And then we see the like spokes of a wheel, and it just keeps changing shapes here. But it looks like something that certainly it's not something we've seen before. It doesn't look like something from this Earth.
No. The only thing I've ever seen in my life that looks anywhere near close to it at all, I worked as a diver underwater, and whenever somebody would use a welding rod in very deep water, the tip of the welding rod almost appeared something like this. It's the only thing I've ever seen that reminded me of it.
All right, so this is the spinny thing.
Right. And I'm sorry it doesn't have a better name than that, but I call things what they look like.
Now, this accompanies the orbs.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the orbs without that being present?
No. And I
usually
look for it.
So do you think that it is controlling the orbs?
I don't know. I mean, you would think just from a process of deduction that there has to be some kind of relationship with it, but your guess is as good as mine. It seems like it moves in a coordination with it, so I'm pretty sure there's some relationship.
All right, now you said that you think these things are some type of living entities. Woolline thinks that the entities that he has seen and that he has caught on video, he thinks they are evil.
I don't think they're evil. I've never had any kind of evil feeling from them or feeling like...
I thought you said that you were really afraid.
Well, it was unnerving at first, just because of the fact that it's weird. I mean, it's unusual. It's different. You know, I mean, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden you come across something that's absolutely huge and you've never seen it before and there's no way to be able to, get any kind of reference material on it, naturally you're going to be unnerved by it. At least I was. Maybe I'm just a chicken, but, it scared me at first. But over time, the more time that I spent watching it and the more time that I videoed it and even got pretty close to it, I lost my fear of it because it never did anything.
So you don't
so
see
I never
these...
really had any evil feeling about it. You know, I over time, one of the things that I thought of was if you could imagine maybe a tear in space and the light that was emanating from these things is kind of like maybe light coming from some other dimension. And so maybe all we're seeing is just a almost like a rip or a tear, and that's the light itself is coming from somewhere else. It's just something that, periodically, when I've looked at the video, it's occurred to me that, you know, some rational explanation for what it is. But I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
All right, I want to ask your opinion of something. I'm going to put the tether experiment back up here. And we're looking now, I've stopped it, and we're looking at one of these objects in space, got the notch in the back, looks like a donut with a notch in the back, all right? Now, next I'm going to put up a photograph that I just stopped your video and did a screen capture and got this. Do those, to you, look like the same type of objects?
The very first time that I saw the video from the tether situation, I immediately zeroed in on those objects because I said to myself how similar they look. In fact, I was fascinated by that because I've never seen them anywhere else, but you know, except here, and they look very similar.
You know, what's interesting about these, if you, I'm looking at the still photograph of yours that you videoed. If you look at these, there is sort of a very narrow band all around the outside, near the edge, forming like a lip or a rim around this thing. And it's on both of them.
Yes.
As if that is some sort of a membrane.
Well, the thing is that when you can't really see it here too well, but after seeing these things so many times, they almost seem like a cone. Either they're at the very center, there seems to be a point, and then it looks like at times there's concentric circles on the inside of it, with the point in the center being the absolute center. And it almost seems like they're coming at you or going away from you so that they have some depth. That is one of the things that I did notice, and I've noticed that for years.
Take a look at the one that's on the screen right now.
Yes.
Now, we're just about out of time. We're headed into break. It looks like there's an explosion going on the right side of the right one on the right. What's that all about?
Well, again, it's all speculation, but the thing that's really neat about it is that they get patterns all over them, and it's as if they'll start out with a little tiny spot, and then that spot multiplies, and then it spreads all over the object, and then eventually the object just goes out and it goes away. But then, again, it'll start all over again, and the patterns are not repeating. I don't know that they're random, but they're never repeated.
All right, we've got about a minute here, actually, before we head off into our top of the hour break. When is the last time that you have noticed these things in the skies?
About 2 weeks ago.
You know, when I stayed out at your ranch for a couple of nights, I walked out several times during the nighttime hoping to see these things and just didn't. Man... I really wanted to see these things, and I wasn't even prepared. I didn't even bring my video camera with me. But let me kind of underscore something. This was videotaped. These videos we've been looking at were videotaped with cameras that at the time were broadcast quality cameras. Now, there are cameras beyond that now, but at the time, those were broadcast-quality cameras, right?
They were the same cameras that most of the professional news crews were using in Iraq for the media that were embedded within military units that were going out into the field and filming.
All right, we're into a break, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away, and we'll open up the telephone lines for you to call in when we come back. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network
is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
And we are back. It is the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm Kevin Smith, your host. We're talking with John Edmonds, and he's been sharing with us. He has shared with us this evening some really amazing video. What amazes me more than anything else, John, is that you tried to get talk shows and news agencies to take an interest in this video at the time, and nobody wanted to take an interest in it. That's pretty astounding. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
I've seen that tether thing. I reviewed it quite a few times on the Internet, you know, and those things swimming back in the background. I just wondered if you or your guest, they look like, I would say that they're some kind of entity, you know, almost like a jellyfish. that you know, that they that are related to, like a rectangle or a solid circular UFO event, you know, that did things to people or something on the ground where these things are just being seen?
I'm not sure I understand. What do you mean they're related to?
Well, I mean, like regular UFO abductions or, you know, related. Are these things more, does anyone know that these things have ever done anything but other than be observed in our atmosphere?
Good question. What about that, John?
As far as the objects out here, I don't have any kind of reason to suspect them of doing anything sinister. You know, there have been things out here in the past that have been kind of strange. There have been some animal mutilations, but I cannot say for with any certainty at all that there's any relationship between that and these objects.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you. The telephone number is now scrolling across your screen, and we are going to attempt, I am attempting now, to open up the Skype line, but not having much luck with it. All right, there we go. All right, the Skype line is open. The Skype address is scrolling across the screen, and if you wish to call in, you may do so. If you're calling outside the United States or from outside of Canada, if it's an international call, we'll accept it on Skype, all right? Don't call me on Skype if you're inside the United States, please. Let's leave that for our international calls. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Eric from Atlanta. How are you doing?
Outstanding, Eric. How are you?
Just fine. Thanks. I'll make this kind of quick. My question is in regards to, like, since these were videotaped at night, and you said they were over or near, like, a mountain range, are you able to tell, verify from surrounding reference points, your point of view that, you know, these aren't objects that are maybe on the mountain, or, I mean, you can definitely tell that these are up high enough to where they are in the air for sure?
You can tell. They're actually quite, the mountain range that's out here is irregular. There's no real pattern to it, so it's irregular, but you can definitely tell that they're way above it.
Okay, because on the video, it's hard to tell reference.
No, I understand that. The only reason I even mention the mountains is because of the fact that these objects, I believe, are actually far south of them.
Also, let me say this, Eric. Mountains in Arizona is a misnomer. These would be considered hills in virtually any state that has mountains.
Okay, so like big, rocky, hilly hills.
Yeah, you're really doing good if you get one that goes up 3,000 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not. When we talk about Australia Mountain, it is it's a midget mountain. It's very short.
Could you see these objects spinning with your naked eye, or notice any kind of details that was also seen on the camera?
You can see them clearly with the naked eye, but in terms of trying to get the detail, it's difficult. The object that spins, you can definitely see it spinning with the naked eye.
Wow.
You can't see the detail again without using some kind of mechanical device to look through, but you can see them clearly.
All right, the telephone number is 623-581-5148. Or if you are calling us on Skype, you simply Skype in to kevin.smith.show, and we'll try to make it work. I'll work really hard to make that work. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. My name's Mike. I'm in Queen Creek.
Hi, Mike.
I'm an 8:30 witness to the March 13th, 1997 sighting, and you asked earlier about who to send this video to, your caller, Jim. I might suggest Dr. Bruce McAbee as somebody to get hold of. He is a true scientist, and if you sent the original tapes to him, he would be the one to talk to. And maybe secondly is not zoom in, but leave it in wide angle and get all your recording on tape and then download it into your computer and use some type of software like Dazzle so you can analyze better, because you distort the video a little bit when you zoom it in with the camera.
Okay. Well, I can tell you straight up, and that is that I have never done anything to these videos other than the fact that they were recorded on the video recorder, and that's it. I've left them as raw footage, and anybody that's ever looked at them for purposes of analysis has dealt with the raw footage. And, you know, I prefer to kind of leave it that way so that nobody will think that they've been, you know, shopped in any way or anybody's messed around with them.
Fair enough. I understand.
But it's a good suggestion.
All right, let me ask you this. Caller, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. I just logged on to your show tonight for the first time.
Well, first-time callers always get some applause. You want adults or kids to applaud you?
Serious researchers.
Serious researchers. All right. We appreciate the call, man.
Contact Bruce McAbee to look at those videos, though. He's very good at this. He's a Navy optometrist. I mean, he's very good. And he would be the one to seek out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Great suggestion.
Thanks. All right, the telephone lines are open, and so is the Skype line. And again, the telephone number is 623-581-5148. The Skype line is kevin.smith.show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kevin from Edmonton.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you gentlemen tonight?
Outstanding.
Good, that's a good way to be. I was curious, was the video shot in the space shuttle, was that done with infrared or just normal?
You know, I've never even considered that question, and so I didn't look for an answer. But it's my estimation that they just shot it with plain old black and white camera. It doesn't look like the resolution is not all that great. It doesn't look like anything fancy.
Okay, and the shape of that notched UFO with the circle in the center, they found some stones in ancient China that resembled those. Do you know anything about that?
I do. Do you, John?
I don't know.
All right. Those are called the Drapa stones.
Drapa stones, okay.
Yeah. And let me put a picture up, a still picture. And if you look, you can see that they're kind of rough, but there are some rings that emanate from that center point outward to the rim. And the Drapa stones have that. They're not quite sure what those are.
They never did figure out what the stones represented, eh?
No, a lot of speculation, but nobody's ever really figured out what they are.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. 1-623-581-5148. And if you have a question or a comment, I'm going to put the video of the spinny thing back up here. I found it absolutely fascinating. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And there is no caller. All right. 623-581-5148. Or on the Skype line at kevin.smith.show. All right. Let's take this call and then I'll get into that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mike. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hello, Mike in Austin, Texas.
I was just going to ask the question. Do those lights appear at the same point in the sky every time, and is there any movement to them? Do they pretty much stay still and then disappear, or do they move around?
That is an excellent question. What about that, John? Do they move around?
They do move around. The interesting thing about them is that they not only move in the sky, but they also seem to move in their same space relative to themselves. They shrink and they expand, and they seem to almost change in density. I don't know how to explain it any other way. They become compact and then they expand.
Is there any frequency to the how often they appear? Do they appear, you know, every so often, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks? Is there any frequency to that?
And Kevin, I can't hear the caller. So you're
all right. He wants to know: is there any frequency, any regularity to when they appear?
They seem to appear at night, and they seem to appear almost always between 8 and 10 o'clock at night.
What about times of year?
They seem to be more. There are at times, different times of the year, they seem to be more prevalent than others. January, December through second or third week of January seems to be a very frequent time that they come. And in late July, they seem to show up. Early June, late July. They have a tendency to show up more at the end of the month than they do at the beginning.
All right, caller, does that answer your question?
Yes, it sure does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, you know, I forgot to ask him if he is a first-time caller, and I believe he is. So, Mike, next time you call in, I'll give you your applause then. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oh, we cannot hear you. No,
audio quality has dropped off.
Yeah, I can tell there's someone back there, but I can't hear them. All right, 1-623-581-5148 is the number to call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right. Please be ready to talk whenever you give us a call, all right? Area code 623-581-5148. John, when you told me about these things diving into the mountains.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, they're not actually the orbs that are doing that, but we have observed other objects out here that will seemingly just disappear into the side of the mountain and come out the other side later on.
How much later?
Seconds.
All right.
I mean, it's a very strange thing to see an object that looks like it's going to crash into something, and then all of a sudden it literally rematerializes and keeps going on the other side.
Do they appear to be solid objects?
They're just bright lights. It's hard to tell what they are. They seem to be almost segmented. Like if you can imagine a line with segments in it, and it just literally is going very quickly, and it looks like it's going to crash right into the mountain, and then it comes out the other side.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Greg from Bedford, Indiana.
Greg, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I'm just curious, is there any video whatsoever of where, because he says he's seen these things many, many times. So,
yep.
To where you can see any type of the mountains in the background or the hills, I guess you've been calling them mostly.
They call them mountains out here.
Yeah. Well, we call them hills here in Indiana.
So. Yep.
But to where you can see any way of changing the contrast or anything to where you can kind of get a better idea of the size of these things. And also,
it really isn't.
I've read that there's been an incredible resurgence of jellyfish in the oceans. Now, I'm not sure if that's because of the heating, but these things, I don't know why, but they remind me of jellyfish.
They sort of do, especially when they begin to morph.
Yeah. because you know how a jellyfish moves in the ocean. And also, there's been areas that they've found literally millions of jellyfish that's taken up literally square miles. And they don't know how these things have grown to such numbers so quickly. And it makes me think that, you know, maybe these things are like souls of jellyfish and just working their way, coming from somewhere out in the solar system, you know.
Well, it's a good comparison. I mean, they are globular looking at times.
Yeah.
And they do often show up. You'll see one, another one will turn on, then a couple of more will turn on. So I have seen them in clusters, but the thing is that they're never close enough to each other that they actually look like they're trying to get together. I mean, one, maybe two of them will kind of come together so that they overlap a little bit, but you'll never see, I've never seen groups of them congregating that close together.
One more thing, are they always in a certain type of pattern? I mean, or do they just randomly appear out of nowhere and just could be anywhere within a certain area? Or do they make
They're always in the south sky.
Always in the south sky.
Right.
Yeah.
South relative to me. And one will usually turn on. It'll be on for 15, 20 seconds. It'll go off, and then they'll start showing up more randomly after that. But they'll once you see one, you usually will see a few of them.
All right, caller, thanks for the call.
That was it.
Telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And the Skype line is kevin.smith.show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Hi, Ryan.
Kevin, you're on a roll, man.
That's some pretty astounding video, isn't it?
Yeah. I wanted to mention that the state director for MUFON in Nevada has done a lot of work on this. He was on Coast to Coast the other night. And you might want to get a hold of him because apparently what he has determined, and he doesn't want to give away the location yet, but he's determined that when he puts on infrared glasses or infrared goggles, I believe that's what he uses, that for some reason they change direction as if they notice that he's wearing infrared goggles. Or,
well, they will respond to laser. I know that because I have used like a red laser pointer, and at a couple of different times I was able to get close enough that I believe they were able to see it, and they did interact.
Okay. How did they interact?
They seemed startled at first, where as soon as I shined the pointer at them, they just went off completely, turned off. And then they came back on again, and I shined the pointer at them again, and they went off.
Man, you better be careful. They might shine something at you can't live over. Ryan, thanks for the call. Yeah, they might just shine something at you that you can't survive.
Well, God takes care of, fools. I don't know. You know, I was just out there looking.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yes, Bob. Speak up good and loud for us.
Alrighty. When the first caller, one of the other callers, was talking about the jellyfish idea,
yeah,
I thought it was pretty interesting because it seems that they probably multiply with good food, less predators, and heat, of course. So I started thinking of them as maybe some kind of an intelligence that's stopping by that maybe needs something or wants something from the planet, or like, not necessarily needs, but maybe minds, or, you know, you see those shows like on TV where they stop by somewhere like E.T. to get something and then they take off and go to wherever they're going. If this is a possibility, what do you think Earth has that the other planets don't have for them to want to stop by here, and or is it just us? Thank you.
I don't know. What do you think,
Water?
Water?
Maybe water. I mean, considering most of the Earth is covered by water.
Well, the European Space Agency has some photographs of Mars that show running rivers of water with whitewater rapids. So they might could stop at Mars, too.
But ours is available now.
Yeah, there's lots of it. Lots of it.
Yep. We might be a recreation planet for them, for all we know.
Maybe. And it may be that when people shine lasers at them, they say, oh, good, they want to play target practice. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Paul from New York.
Yeah, Paul.
I was just wondering, when your guest made that phone call, when he had the object hovering over him, did he speak to a dispatcher or did he call directly to the local police station?
Well, I made two phone calls. I made one to the UFO Reporting Center, which was answered, and I was directed by them to call the local authorities and get somebody to...
So did you dial the police station or did you dial 911?
No, I dialed 911.
Okay, so you talked to a 911 operator.
Right.
Okay, because I was just thinking there should be some record of that because by law they have to tape all conversations that are made.
Yeah, you're right. We're into a break. Paul, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And we'll be back more with John Edmonds and your telephone calls right after this.
Rat race, honey, but you're driving too fast for me. You're aiming it right on the money, but you're giving it away for free. You're driving in the rat race, honey, but you're driving too fast for me. You're aiming it right on the money, but you're giving it away for free.
We are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is John Edmonds. John, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hello, Charles in Albuquerque.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Quite a show here.
What do you think about those videos?
Well, I'm amazed. Those objects, obviously there is something anomalous about them. But they do have a couple of familiar aspects to me.
What do they look like to you?
Well, let me ask, John, when you shot these, were you using a tripod or were you hand-holding the camera?
A little bit of both. Mostly it was on a tripod, though. And what I did was I set up two Canon L1 cameras about 15 feet apart. And then what I did was recorded both the image in both so that I would have two cameras to be able to compare the images because I had always figured at some point somebody would question, and I wanted to be able to say, yes, this is duplicated at the time that I actually shot the video by two different cameras from two different perspectives.
So you have two different cameras taking exactly the same thing, or perhaps maybe you were zooming with one.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
You were perhaps zooming with one camera and taking a wider panorama with another, or were you taking exactly the same thing with both cameras?
Yeah, it was exactly the same thing in both cameras. I just wanted to be able to say that it was, you know, I could repeat the situation by having two cameras do exactly the same thing.
What I'm driving at is whether or not you were sure that those images were in focus.
They were in focus. I mean, they're not in focus 100% all the time because the objects are moving. And even though I had them set on autofocus, there is, you know, some degradation of the image as the object moves.
So that would have been my question, that you were relying on the camera's autofocus in order to focus the image.
I did rely on it because I tried to use it manually, and there was enough change that I could not keep up with the amount of change manually.
Because it appears to me that the images are out of focus because when they appear to be morphing, it appears to me that there is some sort of vegetation or debris that that is moving in front of them, or they're moving behind.
I can only say that it was on a tripod. The tripod was absolutely still, and the camera just ran. I wasn't even touching it.
Well, you were holding it at some point, is that right?
I'm sorry?
You were holding the camera at some point.
Charles, let me tell you, your telephone is, although the volume's up, it is excessively muffled. So let me repeat for you. He said there you were holding it at some point. The answer to that is he had two on tripods and one in his hand. So some of what you look at is what's in his hand. Some of what you look at is on the tripods.
Exactly.
Now, the one that's on the screen right now is obviously handheld.
Now that looks to me like there's a branch in front of the right-hand object.
There's not. I've stood on the spot, and there's no tree there.
Well, there may not be a tree there, but there appears to be something in front of the object.
Well, there's not. That's the object morphing itself. I'm going to back it up, and I'm going to stop it right. Let's see. Let me just stop it right here.
You'll notice how this morph tends to go from one side of the object to another as though it is passing in front of a branch.
Yeah, but now take a look at NASA's. There are no trees out there, and the morphing changes from one side to the other.
Well, now look at the one on the left-hand side. That appears to have some vegetation in front of it.
There is no vegetation there. It's desert.
Have you taken any photographs in the daytime of this area?
I can. I will be glad to take photographs of it. I'm telling you, there's no vegetation. There's no trees there.
Well,
it's desert.
In order to have something that could interfere with the camera,
both of you guys are talking at the same time. That's not going to work. All right. Charles, look at your screen.
I see that.
Now, it's going to replay, And I want you to look at something.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to stop it. Where's you see the bright donut on the left? Where's the notch?
The notch is on the bottom.
It's not. It's on the top.
You mean, okay, now here comes a notch. I'm seeing a notch coming from the left-hand side. Now it morphs to the bottom.
It stopped. It can't be morphing.
Okay. Well,
I've stopped the video.
I think I'm getting some delay on my video.
All right. I'm going to mark the notch for you. And there it is, right there.
Okay. I'm not seeing a mark yet on my video.
All right. Well, you must have.
We got a delay here.
Yeah, you've got very skinny broadband. All right, the notch is on the top of the object.
Okay, I see these things, but you've seen.
All right, now I want you. I'm going to start it again. I want you to watch.
I've seen. Okay, go ahead.
There are no trees out there. That's in space.
Right.
Watch what happens to that notch. It's on the bottom.
Right. But now you see that the two objects do the exact same thing. Don't you find that a little odd?
Are you talking about in his video?
No, I'm talking about in the NASA video. There are two white donuts that proceed from the left to the right. And where the notch begins on the top at the left, and as it proceeds to the right, the notch morphs down to the bottom.
I only see one donut right now.
No, one does it, but if you keep watching this video, another does it. Same thing. Exactly.
I think what you're referring to is that it's a... What you're referring to is a replay. There it comes again. That's a replay.
No. There's more than one that does this. My point is that these objects that you're looking at are debris which are lighted by the bright sun, and they are considerably closer to the camera than the object in the distance.
You believe that?
Yes.
Well, if you watch the entire video of this tether experiment,
I have.
They actually fly under and behind that tether.
They
appear
to.
Do what?
That's a trick of the lighting because of the camera.
I don't buy that.
Well, because the camera contrast is unable to portray for you the fact that the object is going in front of the tether rather than where it looks like it's going behind.
Why would you think that there would be hundreds of these white donut debris out there?
They appear to be donuts because they're out of focus. They're out of focus because they're close to the camera lens.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up another of the, give me just a second here, and I'll bring up another of the tether videos where they zoom back. All right, now they're zooming back.
Now you realize what is happening here is that the tether and the shuttle are moving from the shadow into daylight. And the objects at first appear dim, wavering around in front of the camera. As the objects go into daylight, then you see more and more of them, and they appear to be clustering around this tether. In reality, you'll see they're not clustering around the tether. They're milling about more or less chaotically. You see, as they pull out, it appears they're clustering around the tether, but that's an effect of the pullout.
So everything that we see in the tether experiment video, the entire thing is an optical illusion.
Exactly.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either.
No?
Neither does Bruce McAbee, who's done analysis of the videos.
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk to Bruce yet.
Yeah, well, we did, and we talked to him about this. On a previous show when he was here on the show, and he doesn't buy that's debris either.
There is something I'd like to point out about the orb video, and that is you were commenting that it looked as if maybe a branch or something had gotten in the way of the camera. The camera is facing south and it is facing up into the sky. and it is sitting on a tripod that's approximately 5 feet tall. If it was a branch that was out here in the desert, it would have to be on some kind of bush or something that was a foot or two off the ground. And you would see the camera suddenly pan downward. And if the camera panned downwards to catch the branch, it would not be able to simultaneously point upward to be able to capture the video of the orb.
Well, now in response to that, the branch doesn't have to be close to the camera, because if that's a point source and it's out of focus, the branch could be almost anywhere between the camera on the point source and still appear to be in focus.
All right, now the distance from him to those lights is something on the neighborhood of 17, 18 miles.
What are those lights on the left that appear to be on the ground? On the right, on the right-hand side, that appear to be on the ground.
What about that, John?
I'm sorry, I could not hear.
The lights that are on the ground, or they appear to be on the ground. Here they are right here. What is that?
There is a dairy that is due south of us, and it's approximately, the lights that are on the ground are maybe 2 or 3 miles away.
Now that is on the ground.
That's correct.
So those lights have to be elevated a considerable distance in the sky.
That's correct.
And that would seem to eliminate any possibility of there being any brush or branches between the lights and the object. But without any daytime photographs of that area, it's hard to be sure.
I'm sure. I've stood there.
You've seen it.
Yep. We'll get you some photographs.
Now, that would be great.
But I'm telling you that what you're imagining is complete fiction. There are no trees. This is Mars with cactus on it.
Well,
that's a pretty good description.
They are out of focus in several of the cuts I'm seeing, and so it's hard to tell exactly what they look like.
Well, I tell you what. Here you go. Is that out of focus?
Oh, I'm delayed again, I'm afraid.
I'm going to give you a series of the still shots. The still shots are on my site. It's the same exact ones. And they are most definitely not out of focus. There's the second one. It's so in focus that I can see the ring, the perfect ring, rim, right around the edge that I said it makes it look like maybe there's kind of a membrane. I can even see where that line or rim goes into the notch. That's completely and totally in focus.
I can see those.
Something
else
that I realized, and that some of this footage was shot.
You guys are talking at the same time again.
I can't hear the caller coming in at all, Kevin, so there's no way for me to know when I start to speak whether somebody else is speaking.
All right.
The nighttime condition.
Okay, whoa. Tell you what we're going to do. John, I've just cut you off. You can still hear me, though. All right, go ahead, Charles.
I'm sorry. I say the spinny object is obviously clearly in focus.
All right, well, take a look at this. What you see is the barbell. It's so in focus you can see the connecting spindle between the two halves.
Well, I see that. That certainly appears to be a connecting spindle. It's just...
I know it's hard to believe, but it's still there.
Boy, I would love to get out there and see them myself.
Well, come on out. We got lots of desert and lots of weird stuff in the sky. Guys, we're into a break. Charles, thanks for the call. Interesting stuff, and it's going to get more so as we continue. We'll be back on the other side of this break, and we'll have time for one, maybe two more calls. Get your fingers ready to do the dialing.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
this time. When I feel less scattered, you're the one that matters this time. This time around. This time around. This time. This time. This time around.
Got iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
All right, we are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith. And, John,
let's go straight to the telephone. We have a caller that's been holding here for a couple of minutes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
I had to call about that last caller with that tether thing. I heard one, heard him called space debris before, and it was in the documentary I had, and it was by the debunker, and... the actual, the gentleman that the caller suggested earlier that you send this to, the naval physicist who looks at all these videos, determined by the length of the tether, which is 12 miles, that the object in the video is, I believe, about a mile and a half in diameter. And
yeah.
It does pass behind the tether in the video. And so, no, all that video has already been examined by scientists and that naval physicist. And,
yeah, it's Bruce McAbee, Dr. McAbee.
That's right, Bruce McAbee. And so no, that's not even in debate there, so you can...
Oh, yeah, it's in debate. Well, I mean, but you've got Bruce McAbee saying, and he is like the expert, that's not space debris and that it's about a mile and a half in diameter. And, but, I mean, that's one guy's opinion, but it's certainly a well-educated opinion upon which the U.S. military has relied many, many, many times.
Yeah, it's up to debate on what it is, but as far as the size of it, isn't, because we know the size of the tether, so, and we have it on video. So, no, that the size of it is not in debate unless someone has come along and said that the tether is not 12 miles long. That's all I can say about that video. And it's a documentary I was well aware of, and I just wanted to call it and just give that 2 cents. I don't know what those are. Those, the only thing the first time I'd ever seen any object that looked like a barbell that was flying was in the movie Star Wars. And it was the TIE fighters, I believe, or the bad guys fighters, Empire fighters. And that was the only time I'd ever seen a flying barbell. Then, of course, Jeff Woolline, talking about those petroglyphs, had those carved in there, and that he had videoed them, and you'd mentioned you had seen them once. And the thing about Jeff was, he said that all the myths that he investigated about these petroglyphs and the objects that he was filming, it always led to, you know, usually bad times for us when they start to appear, which is every, you know, however long. So I don't know. I think that's why he was kind of gloom and doom about those things, and, you know, that's what he thinks. They're, you know, something that comes around every so often. It's usually at a time when it's not so great for us, is why I think he was kind of gloom and doom about those. But I don't remember him.
So what do you think about these videos you saw tonight?
Well, I mean, if they can be analyzed and you know, it's all there. You can tell nowadays if something is added into footage, because if you shoot an original scene and then you add something into it, it's got different pixelation.
Well, if you remember at the beginning of the show, we talked about that, and it was analyzed by Jim De La Tosa.
Yeah.
But I would think, you know, if folks really feel that it's necessary, you don't have any problem with having Bruce McAbee look at it, do you, John?
No, I'd love to have him look at it. Anybody that's interested in trying to apply any kind of scientific analysis to this, more power to him. Because I'd like to know definitively if that's even possible, you know, what it is. All I know is I saw it, I filmed it, I've seen it again and again and again, and it's there.
Well, Kevin, one comment I'll hang up is that the technology we have nowadays allows us to create images on screen, but it also allows us to detect when images have been added to a picture.
Sure.
So, you know, whenever you have someone say, well, it's a hoax, well, no, you can tell if it's a hoax and you can tell if it's not.
Well, and see, that's what Jim Delatoso does. Village Labs does all kinds of exotic animations. And they know what to look for because they are the people who create those things. And Delatoso looked at this and he said, this is genuine stuff.
Yeah, well, that means it is because he's got the equipment to look at it, the scientific data. He just didn't look at it with his eyes and hold it to a light bulb and say it. He's got, you know, stuff to prove that it is.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff you see in the movies has been created by Village Labs. So they know what to look for to tell if it's been tampered with.
I'd be more than happy to take a lie detector test.
Okay, Trey, I want to thank you for the call. We're close to out of time. It's pretty interesting. It's interesting. This whole experience has been interesting for me because right here on the heels of this Bigfoot hoax where, you know, a big splash was made in the media about it, it's hard for people to actually believe there's oxygen in the atmosphere. And even with me saying, I've been there, I've stood there, there are no trees there, it's hard for some people to buy that. But there are no trees there. I invite you to come out here to the desert and get away from Phoenix, and believe me, this is away from Phoenix. Get away from Phoenix where people plant trees in their yards. Get out in the desert, and I defy you to find a tree. You want there are no trees. If you want to get in a shade, you might get into a very skinny shade of one of the cacti, but there are no no trees. I defy you to find a tree out here in the desert. Now, if you go to South Mountain, but you're still in Phoenix, you go to South Mountain, you can find some, you know, scrub, I guess, I don't know what those are. What are those, mesquite trees? You can find some of those at the lower elevations. But you get out into the open desert, and there are no trees, folks. Got some tumbleweed, sagebrush-looking stuff that's about knee-high. And that's it.
That's part of the reason you can see so far in the desert is because there's just nothing there.
Yeah, and it's my opinion we shouldn't be here either. there's no excuse for living in this kind of heat. There's just no excuse for it. However, after October, it'll settle down, and the weather will become almost like paradise. John, what are you going to do with all this?
Well, I'm open to suggestions. I mean, to me it was nothing ever but a hobby anyway. It was just something that popped up, and so I, you know, felt like it was a waste not to film it. But I've never tried to do anything with it. I've never tried to write a book. I've never tried to, you know, make a dime off of it. If anybody has any good suggestions, they're welcome to contact me. You know, somebody wants to, you know, interview me for another show or something like that, they can always contact me.
Well, you never know. There are a number of shows that listen to this show to try and pick up on who to get for guests next. And we certainly appreciate that. And I'm quite serious about that. I mean that. We appreciate that. That's not to say we don't ever pay attention to what other shows are doing for guests. We do, as you know. And because someone out there is going to find that next new person with new information that is very interesting and important. And certainly we keep our eyes and ears open, too. John, How tall are you?
6'2".
How much you weigh?
About 270.
The reason I bring that up is because you need to know, folks, that John's not a little guy. And whenever he says this thing kind of had him unnerved at the beginning, it doesn't matter how big you are or how bad you are, it can unnerve you. John, I want to thank you for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the show. I wish we had more time, but we don't. I hope you've enjoyed what John has shared with us tonight. Very, very interesting video. And I dare say much more clear than any video you've ever seen of things unknown in the sky. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again. Tomorrow night, we dive off into a real Amityville horror. The real thing. It's not Amityville, but it's the real stuff. We'll see you then. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.